Blog Talk Radio.
Every single word I say, you know it before I speak. You know every thought, the deepest part of me. You draw me close and then I see your presence is everything I need to be the child that you
pray for the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, And you're supposed to be preaching the word. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And baptizing people, that's what we're all supposed to be doing. Not just preachers, we're all supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, and you know, cleanse the lepers and all that. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. So, you know, whatever you're doing in ministry, you're supposed to be doing this. That's what he commands to do. And that's one of the main things that we're supposed to be doing. But today, like I said, today we are talking about love one another as I have loved you. And I'm going to get right into the show right here. How's it going, Chris and Robert? How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, it's a good night. Yeah.
It's a beautiful night. Amen. Hello, everyone.
Amen. It's good to have y'all on the show. And we got all the co-hosts together. Got them all on the main page now. You can see everybody that's involved with the Healing Light show or see their names and stuff and know that they're actually there. A lot of times you couldn't see their names because I'm trying to put these shows together as fast as I can. Sometimes I get a bunch of shows I've got to put together, and I don't get to put everything up there. But this time I actually went out to actually put it on the main page where everybody can see everybody's connected to the Healing Light show. And, you know, like I said in other shows, we're going to try to come together and put an event together where everybody can see us and hear us preach and teach and all that good stuff and see people get healed and stuff. It'd be awesome. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about how we're supposed to love one another. Now, Robert, what does that mean to you about a Christian, how we're supposed to act towards other Christians?
Well, you know, Jesus said that he didn't come for those who had their stuff together. Jesus came to those who were in need. He came to minister life to those who were outcast and downtrodden, those who were heavy laden and burdened. He came to set captives free and to show us another way to approach our Heavenly Father. And his whole life in ministry was to show us how, first of all, to love Father who is loving us. He loved us first. And I think one of the most important things that Jesus taught us was to love one another. If we love one another, then everybody's going to know us by our love, one for another. You know, I believe that was one of the most important things that he ever taught us, to how to love people. If you love people, Paul wrote in Corinthians chapter 13, we call it the book of love, you're going to find ways to forgive. You're going to find ways to not hold wrong against others. You're going to find ways to demonstrate something that goes beyond what we're used to and accustomed to when you love someone the way that we have been loved. Father is holding no thing against us. His love for us reaches beyond what our finite minds are capable of comprehending. And through Christ Jesus, he is demonstrating that love and the restoration power of that love so that he might fellowship with us. Amen.
Yeah. And, amen, Chris. What do you think about this?
I was just thinking about that thought today because I work with people and serving people a lot, you know, and like people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like that applies to every area of life, and the more that you love people and you honor people, I mean, even if they're your enemy, you know, God says to if somebody asks you to carry their tunic or cloak or whatever it was 1 mile to go to. So really in doing that, in showing and giving honor and giving love where it's not deserved, you're actually reflecting what Jesus did for you, you know, because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know,
mm-hmm.
He died for you. And and that's really incredible because you're just, when you do that and you focus on love, and you're really just, you're sacrificing yourself in that situation. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's hard, you're humbling yourself And I mean, it's, of course, it's easier said than done, but you know, when the trials and tests come, the more you're obedient and the more you learn how to walk in God in those situations and connect yourself with the mind of Christ and connect yourself with the leading of the Lord and that inward witness due to being so like interactive with Him, you know, it just gets easier and easier and you gain ground. And I mean, I really believe that's what the Bible's talking about, being led and walking in the Spirit, you know, and that's the source to, I mean, that's really what Jesus said, it's above all, to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah.
That's kind of unique. I was going back to what Robert was saying a while ago. He's talking about, you know, we all came out of situations that wasn't, you know, a good life. We all lived in sin. And I was reading here in 1 Peter, it says, as the scriptures say, it is difficult for good people to be saved. What then will become of godless sinners? So to me, that's basically, I might be getting off subject, but it's basically talking about, you know, people that's not Christians, but they say they're good, that they do everything right and this and that. So they're so good that they think they don't need God. They don't need this. But but somebody's been dragged down the road a couple of times, has been in jail, has had problems, you know, had a rough life, they're easy to fall down and have God to remake them, to make them a new man. But the man that thinks he's good and is already perfect, he don't think he needs God, so he really never does go after God. I say a whole lot. And that was pretty awesome there too. But yeah, it's real important to reflect the Father. Like it says, it also says, we are put on a different level when we're Christians. We're expected to be reflecting God, reflecting Jesus. We're supposed to be trying to reflect Him at all times, which it can be hard. We're all being transformed in Him, and before we're transformed to be like Him, we still have lacks, and we're still trying to follow the code, I'll say. But ever so often we fall off that code, and we're trying to catch up with that. But I think, I mean, in my own life, the harder I worked at it, you know, I would fall short. And the Lord would show you. But if I would just read the Word, just trust God's got my back, and when I run into a situation, the Lord will show me something. Hey, you ain't doing that right. And I'm going to tell you one thing, because He shows you something don't always mean you're going to do it. Because that's our sinful self is like, go do it, you know. But enough times, you're going to see, hey, you know, we're trying to reflect Jesus. We need to actually start listening and start doing things. And the more the Holy Spirit starts stirring in you, the more things will start, you'll start looking more like Jesus. I mean, but the main thing for you to be a Christian, to look like Christ, is the fellowship, is to have the relationship with Christ. Because if you only go to church every Sunday and you never pick up your Bible, you don't never spend any time with the Lord except at church, you're not going to have much there to transform you. The Holy Spirit, I'll say, could be in you. I mean, you could have been saved and been Spirit-filled. I mean, I don't know, but if you're never turning it, you're never working with it, you know, it's not going to really turn out the way it should be. And I think, you know, the more you're spiritually active in your own life, the more it will show, you know. And I'm going to tell you, as my own life too, is that you have bad days, you have good days. That's, you know, God, the Lord never did promise us perfect days every day. He said there would be struggles. There will be turmoil in our lives. We will have situations that come up in our lives. But that there is the biggest test, because I know myself, when I'm going through these struggles, that really shows me what I am, how I'm going to react to those struggles. And sometimes I'll react crazy. And I'm like, man, I shouldn't have did that, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I need some work, you know. And so we all get to that point. So, I mean, we have that one person in our family that knows how to push all those right buttons to see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And they'll sit back with their arms folded and say, I wonder what he's going to do about this, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's a so-called Christian. Let's see what he's going to do about this, you know.
Yeah, they like using that line, don't they?
Yeah. Let's see what he's going to do about this. And then when you blow up, they say, I told you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always being tested, man. I mean, especially if you got a minister line or you're in ministry, you're over a ministry or something, they're always trying to find that little thing to point the finger or, you know, something like that. And we've got to step up to Paul because we are in a higher respect than some of the other ones. And it's hard to walk that. I mean, but the Lord expects us to do that. And
Randy,
the Holy Spirit is growing. Go ahead, man.
No, I was going to add something to what you're saying because I preached that very same message today about how we respond. Number one, with grace, Father has already dealt with everything that we were going to do wrong for eternity. It's been dealt with. So the awesome power and the awesome manifestation of grace in your life is this. When we are seeking him properly, like Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22 says, my son, attend unto my words. We're supposed to keep the word before us at all times. It says in verse 22,
amen.
My son, attend to my words, incline that ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Seeking first the kingdom of God, focusing on Christ Jesus and what he has accomplished in us is going to cause change to come and change to happen without effort. It's called effortless change that comes from us because our heart is so focused on living like Christ. Our heart is so focused on having the mind that is in Christ Jesus that change comes effortlessly. And love, everything that he did in love from creation to this day to throughout eternity. Everything hinges on love. So he says to us to love God and to love our neighbors. It's just an attribute or a character and a part of Father's nature to love. So what he has done through Christ Jesus is he has extended himself through Christ Jesus to show us what love is really all about. And the more we focus on Christ Jesus and his accomplishment, focus on the kingdom that we are citizens of, and not on being a citizen of this physical world. We have to remember that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, Father loves them in spite of them. And we've got to do the same because that's what Jesus did. That's the example that we're supposed to follow and follow hard after because that is the mind that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I was reminded of this situation. Like one time I was at work when I was in the electrical field, and this guy who was hurling like insults, I don't know, just it was one of those days where I was like, man, really? And the Lord, like, he really offended me somewhat. And, like, I remember walking out at break and just saying, Lord, why is it like this? You know, I'm like so just frustrated with the situation. And I opened my Bible, and my eyes landed on the scripture. It said, the insults of those that insult you have fallen on me. And, I mean, that it gave me so much freedom, man, because I said, you know what? I was like, this is nothing compared to what you did for me, Lord. And I was like, just talking to him about it. And I said, man, Lord, forgive me for even, like, taking offense, because that's a step out of love. But I wanted to share the scripture right here. It's Romans 8:7. It says, the mind that is governed by the flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. And verse 8 says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So it's like that constant. And it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. And and that's a really cool statement, because he does. He's given us the spirit of God, and he does live in a Christian, you know. And and there's different measures and degrees of that. But, like, when you connect to that, to the spirit, you know, and I did so in that situation by just talking to the Lord and fixing my affections and attentions on the Lord, and he responded. But it's as simple as that, just fixing your affection and your focus on the Lord, you know. And and also, like, this scripture is coming to my mind: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's John 1. And anyway, like, when we go to the Word of God, that's the Word of God. Is Jesus, is God speaking to us, is the holy, infallible Word of God. And, you know, like, it's just anointed, and the Spirit of God is there, ready to just pour out on you, especially when you're inquiring of Him, you know, and you're being real with Him, and your heart's like towards, really, God, when your heart motives are towards God, I want to know you, I want to do your will, I want to walk in your ways, He is there flowing and just pouring out, man. I mean, just looking for it, just ready to bombard this situation. And and the more that we tune into that faith, the more that he just completely invades and gives us favor. And not only that, but, like you were saying, Robert, about the grace that just overshadows you, and he makes those things that are hard easy, because we're in him, and the ability and the abundance of God comes on you. Man, I kind of got in the flow there.
Amen. That's it.
Good.
That's it. Praise him. Well, that is good.
That kind of reminded me of a Facebook post where they had this little cartoon character who's like, God, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. Please scream to me. And all of a sudden, a big hand came down with a Bible and handed it to him. That's what kind of reminds me. We've got that there. You have the Word, right? But, well, as a minister and as people, you know, that has the Bible with them all the time, most of the time, you know, it's right there. You can grab it if you need something to really answer a question. I know myself, I'll be sitting there typing away, just putting in a show or something. I've got something pop in my mind or just something just coming to me. I'll just pick up the Word, and I'll just open it up, and all of a sudden, faith will fall back, and my eyes will land on something, or I'll feel drawn to a certain... A lot of times, he'll give me a book in the Bible to look, and then when I'm turning, I'll go right to it, and it, like, solves my problem right then and there, because it's Holy Spirit-driven. We need the Holy Spirit to help drive us in the Word of God. And then he'll answer those things just by his own words. I mean... When a lot of people talks about, oh, I want to hear God, we remember the TV shows where God's like, now, John, you know you're supposed to go to the left, not the right, you know. That's what people expecting to do. They're like, they're going to hear, you know, this big movie star screaming down, but no, it's right here in this Word. And God does talk like that to some people. I'm not going to knock that, because people have heard God like that. But, you know, it's right there in the Word of God. He will guide you and direct you. And, you know, it's just right there. And it helps lead us, like I've heard Robert, and a lot of people say, to renew your mind daily. And the Word of God, that helps keep your mind straight. But your spirit is already renewed. It's already been reborn. It's good.
Yes.
It's just your mind is what's being twisted and twisted by people, people yakking and saying this and saying that. You're hearing your coworkers yelling and this and that, and then all of a sudden you've heard this all day long. It's being programmed in your mind. And then all of a sudden, when somebody says something out of the straight and narrow to you, all of a sudden you react with something that you didn't want to say because you're not keeping your mind in the Word of God, or you're not really checking it. That's why it's really important. And another thing that helps keep your mind straightened out is be very careful of what you watch. You know, a lot of people, they turn on their TV, watch whatever they can watch. But the thing of it is, it all has a bearing on how you see things and how you think about things. Now, just say, if you was walking in Jesus' body, you had the long hair and the robe, would you want to be watching a TV show like you watch? No. Would a holy eyes of God want to watch some of the stuff that you watch? So if you wouldn't want Jesus to see it, most likely you don't need to see it. Because you're trying to renew your mind, and keep putting garbage in your mind is going to kind of fight against your purpose. And that's one thing that I had to learn. I had to go through all my DVD collection and start tossing. I had to be careful what I watched, what I listened to. Some of the heavy metal music I used to listen to, I had to toss it. So it's all a mind renewal. You've got to be careful what you put in your mind. And if it's in front of you, you'll be tempted to listen to it or pick it up. So I'm not saying not to watch no DVDs, but be very careful what you watch, because it could have stuff in there to warp, to put you back in that warp cycle again. And a lot of people don't. Go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to share that scripture that says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I just wanted to say that it's a responsibility, you know, to our relationship. And the more that we want to grow, the more responsible we need to be with the Lord. And I think as you mature and grow in the Lord, it's like you grow in those areas of stewarding things well. And your thought life is really probably the most important as far as doing any kind of the will of God. Because when I believe that once you gain that ground in you, and I had a word one time for a church, I spoke at in Philadelphia, and the word was on that very thing. The Lord told me to tell them to go after their own heart first. If they go after their own heart first, then that will affect their family, and then their family, and it'll be like networking, you know, like a situation. I mean, that's a business term for it, but it's like, I mean, it'll just begin to overflow out of your own heart. And then I believe in that particular situation that being self-centered about your thought life is very important, because then you're going to be so focused on everybody else because your thinking is in line with God, you know, that you're going to do that more on accident than you probably ever try to do on purpose if you just get a little discipline there.
Come on.
Come
on. There's that effortless change I was talking about right there. That's what that is. That's that effortless change. And, you know, I had that scripture pulled up to read to Chris. So that was right on the money. And the rest of it, it just ties right on in with it. Verse 9, excuse me, it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, here's the kicker, do. D-O, two-letter word, and the God of peace shall be with you. Come on. See, it's all in that thinking. It says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so doth he live. If you sit around thinking like the world, then thinking like the world is going to produce the world out of you. But if you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, having you the mind that is in Christ Jesus, what did he think about?
the kingdom. He was constantly thinking about the kingdom. He was constantly thinking about grace, constantly thinking about pleasing his Father, and that was being obedient unto death to restore all humanity and show all humanity the love that Father has for them. You know, having that mind in us, setting our hearts on, I think Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above. That's the type of way that we're supposed to be thinking in order to get the byproduct, which is the character, the fruit of the Spirit, which is Father's character. We have to set our mind on the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all things are added unto you. We have to set our mind on the kingdom, and the kingdom is everything that he is. The kingdom is the total manifestation of his glory in our lives. And if we focus our heart on those, fine-tune our hearts on those, before you know it, it's like the tree limbs that after they produce fruit, the season of the fruit has come, and the fruit's come off the limbs, you trim the limbs back so that it produces a better, a sweeter, a larger fruit the next season that it grows. And that's what happens in our lives. It's just like I told you guys before, Stan, about the computer, the hard drive. Your mind, your brain is like a hard drive in a computer, and your thoughts are literally what writes the information on your hard drive. And if you're thinking godly thoughts, heavenly thoughts, love and peace and joy and patience, goodness, gentle kindness, faithfulness and self-control, then you're writing a program onto your brain that's going to produce the very love, peace and joy, everything that is fruit of the Spirit out of your life.
Hey, can I go back to this one scripture for a second? Like, I don't
go ahead,
know
man.
If I read it, but anyway, it was Romans 8, Romans 8, verse 9, it says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit." So that's what God's saying about you. So he believes in you more than you believe in you. You know, or
yes,
he believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. And I think it's a great, I mean, it's so empowering when there's belief there, because faith calls things that are not as though they are. And by doing so, you're aligning yourself, you're believing it so. And like by accepting then the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, you know, God sees you exactly like that. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. And it's like you can't get any more holy as far as standing before the Lord, or you can't get any more righteous as far as standing before the Lord because of the blood of Jesus. Now, I mean, our natural body and our natural flesh and the alignment, I mean, that's a process of regeneration, you know, I mean, of being shaped and molded in him. As far as receiving from the Lord, though, you can't get any more holy than the blood of Jesus, because it's completely, completely eradicated all of it, all of the sin and everything. It's just like you guys were saying earlier, and I mean, it's just awesome because there's such a flow, both of you guys, everything you've been saying, like I'm getting it too, and I'm like, this thing, it's just awesome to hear God speaking to all of us the same thing at the same time.
Amen.
It's awesome. I mean, it's great to see, you know, when you go into a church, and I mean, if you ever been to a new church, ever been before, and it's great to go into one and everybody's coming up hugging you and loving on you and trying to introduce you to the church. And it's weird and it's kind of unique when you go into a church and nobody speaks to you. You just walk in there and you're like, hey, you're supposed to be representing the body of Christ, supposed to be loving on the brothers and the sisters, you know. And that's what we all should be doing. We all should be reflecting that. We should be loving on one another. you know, welcome people into your church, welcome people to your church, not just the special ones or the ones you never saw there before, but everybody, you know, at least have a kind word to say, even to the people in the street, even if you're at you're at the cash register paying for bread or whatever, at least try to have something nice to say. It's kind of like the other day, I was going through this myself at work. There's a guy that works in the cab room, comes back, moves, takes things for Jared, and I probably knows the guy. But anyway, he was coming walking through there, and I was going to get some pegboard put on my machine. And Laura says, shake his hand. I was like, okay. I said, hey, man, how you doing today? And he looked at me a little bit, wasn't shaking, and then he shook my hand. I said, doing pretty good. He said, yeah, so. I said, I hope you have a good day, man. Yeah, you be blessed. And he kind of enjoyed that because nobody else would do that, you know. Something like that can change what you think, you know. And it's, it's simple as a handshake. You don't have to go and say, in God's name be blessed, and may God's presence come. You'll have to say that. It could be something. And you can say that if you want to. And, I mean, that's you. But, you know, but this simple can just touch a person. It could do so much. I mean, thank you can do so much. And, you know, maybe a pat on the shoulder can do so much. And that's not me, and you have to chase them with the Bible and start saying, hey, and Jesus said, right, you know, just a nice pat on the back or I love you, man, or have a great day can do a lot. And you're sharing Christ right then and there, just that. Or, you know, your day, how's your day been going? If the guy's day ain't been going well, so will it be better tomorrow? You know, God bless you, things going to be better tomorrow. And there's some days, I mean, go ahead, Chris.
Hey, one thing I was going to say is, like, if you notice somebody, or, I mean, you know, we're talking about backbiting sheep and stuff, too. And, like, if you notice just in a congregation somebody's, like, looking a little, like, grumpy and stuff like that, one thing I like to do is try to focus on complimenting them, you know, or, like, really say, man, I really like those shoes, or, you know, because that what you're doing is you're imparting, like, honor into a situation. And, you know, I mean, really, you can do it in such a way that it's truly heartfelt, you know, and it's like you connect yourself to the Father and doing it. But what you're doing is you're being that thermostat instead of, like, just being moved by the situation, you know, and you're more controlling the situation and distracting or changing a focus. And because you can kind of pick up on some of that stuff, like, when you're just observant, and it's like you can completely direct a situation, you know. And, I mean, like, I think of that scripture that tells us to rule and reign in life through Christ Jesus, you know. And it's not that we're to be dictators over people or manipulate or anything. It's just like that ruling and reigning is in love, and it's in a place of humility and a place of really just counting yourself as a sacrifice. And it says, like, those that are last will be first, and those, you know, that exalt themselves,
I'll think about that today. Yep.
Will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted, you know. But I attribute all that stuff to the grace of God, and I really, Lord, I just look to you to help me walk this love out, to walk your love out. I expect your faith to enter my heart, Father, so I can do it.
Amen.
That's true, man.
Amen.
That's true.
Amen. I wanted to read something from 1 John chapter 4. I'm sure you're familiar with this. In this, verse 9, was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us,
and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's so good.
It's
very
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And
it makes it
easy to demonstrate to people when you know this, when it's reality. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's that is so good.
It's cool how God actually, you know, we have a relationship and he's really communicating with you quite a bit, and you start learning how he thinks. I mean,
mm-hmm.
not only from the Bible, but personally, how he directs
mm-hmm.
you. When the Holy Spirit is working with you, Jesus is working with you one-on-one, you see how he thinks. And how he thinks is mind-blowing because you're taught completely different. It's like, you know, he'll start telling you, you know, if you're having a problem with somebody, he wants you to pray for them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if they're your
mm-hmm.
arch enemy, he wants you to pray for them, because
mm-hmm.
what that's going to do, that's going to bind your heart closer with them and bring love closer to them, because love is what's going to solve that situation.
Mm-hmm.
More strife, more fight, more fuss, they ain't going to do it. It's going to
mm-hmm.
add more dynamite to the situation. But when you
mm-hmm.
pray and you pour out love to that situation, you'll see it die down. And I've saw this
mm-hmm.
quite a bit of times at work and so on, where we have, you know, we have a situation there, and some of the guys, I even had some other guys would deal with the person the same way, and they would pray. They would pray and thank God for the person, you know, really grow close to the person. And all of a sudden, the situation just fade away. It just go away. And
mm-hmm.
the Lord always wants you to love the person. Love him as a brother. Love her as a sister, whoever it may be. It might be somebody in your life that you really have. It could be a sister that you've been fighting with for years, and you have a hard time getting along with them, because you always come back with that dynamite point of what they've done wrong, and you pointed it at them many a time. It always blowed up, and he was in the same situation, in the same separation between you two for, it could be 10 to 15 years, but you've never sat down and prayed about this sister. You never prayed about this person to love them, to shine love upon them. You just never done that. And I'm really feeling that the Lord is wanting you to pray for this sister. He's wanting you to thank him for actually giving you a sister, to having a sister. And look, watch the relationship bloom. That relationship's going to bloom so much. Y'all going to be going to Walmart one day together. You're going to be laughing about that situation. I just know this. And I know there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that goes to work. They work in offices. They're working in offices, and they got the person in the office next door. It could be the little what do you call them? Little
cubicle.
Things. Cubicle. And the person's been playing the Jambox for 2 or 3 years, the same channel, bothering you. And you just can't take, I mean, it just gets on your last nerve. But you've never met the person. You never went over and shook hands. You just kept working and just ignored it and went on. But it just got to a point, it's just bothering you, and you're just getting ready to blow up and explode and make yourself not look very good. So I'm feeling just, you know, just as being a child of God, you know, you need to go over and love on the person. Just say, hey, how you doing? You know, that's some cool music you're playing there. Even though you might not like it, but say, that's some cool music you got there. Who's the group? So, yeah, I like, you know, when I listen to my music, you know, I listen on headphones. I really enjoy my headphones or something like that. But just get to know the person, and there's ways of talking to people, but it isn't a way of exploding, because when you explode, it destroys the relationship. And trust me, you don't want to go to work with the person that's not really liking you when you see them every day. That don't turn out too good. So, you know, really, really get to know people and try to shine Christ's love on that person. And I'm going to tell you what, once that person knows you, what he's going to do, he's going to know, say, hey, my friend's over here, I don't want to turn this up. I'm going to turn this down, you know. So, you know, really, really just go ahead, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to share that God's a God of honor, and he's going to honor your actions to love because of him, you know, and every time you walk in the word and in the righteousness, in righteousness, even if man, even say your boss or somebody, you're working real hard and he doesn't honor you, I always know that don't even matter to me because I know God honors me no matter what man does, you know. And I just thought about this situation where Abraham and Lot are splitting up, and Abraham says, which way do you want to go, Lot? You know, and Lot looks at the land, and he says, wow, that valley is flourishing or whatever, and he goes that way. And Lot honors him and gives him the first pick, you know, because he realizes that truth, that God is a God of honor. And no matter what, he's provided for him this far. And he's seen it over and over in his life. So he went to the opposite direction, which looked absolutely contradictory to what Lot picked. And God honored him and blessed him and multiplied him. You know, and that's just over and over. You see that principle in the Bible over and over in the Old Testament. And I want to give you this one scripture to affirm that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, so it's like I just wanted to share that because it was on my heart.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. But it's always, I mean, when you build relationships with people and love people, you don't know what that can bloom into. You have no idea what can bloom into. It could be the best relationships, the best friends you ever had, but you just never gave it a chance. I guarantee you, if you put effort to build that relationship, to really, really liking that person, really showing that person some affection, I'm sure God's going to bless that relationship, and you're going to have one of the best friends you ever had. And you might have a best relationship with your sister you ever had, and, you know, it'll last for eternity probably, you know. But, you know, it's just taking that one little step, praying for that person, praying for their well-being, pray for their blessings. I've heard some people say they pray for their enemy, and their enemy would get so blessed that they would get jealous. They'd be like, man, God's blowing them up. Man, they're getting new cars. Money's coming in. They're getting good jobs. What's going on here? My prayer's actually working for them. And God's actually showing you, man, you know, that your love, it's love. God loves them as much as he loves you. There's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
He don't see anybody differently. He sees everybody in love. And he's wanting you to see the same thing because that blessing to come over on you once you start seeing the love that he's showing towards them.
Yeah.
go ahead, man.
I was going to add something to what you said right there, Stan, about praying for your enemy and stuff, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, not the, what is it, the do attitudes. There was a way I heard someone say it that was cool. But the Beatitudes in verse 9, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, praying for someone who's persecuting you or who's treating you bad or something. Jesus says you're going to be called a child of God if you're a peacemaker, and praying for them is making peace, because that's making peace with you and keeping your heart in the right place. And then he goes on to say, blessed are you, they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is just spewing all this goodness at us about what we're supposed to be doing when people are talking about us or treat us bad and acting out towards us because we're blessed. You know, we are blessed. And because we are blessed, sometimes it causes people to envy us and it causes people to want to
try to put us down to make themselves, exalt themselves up to something that they're not, or just try to make themselves look better than us. But what they're doing is they're hurting themselves. Go ahead.
They call those sheep to put those things on, you know.
Yeah.
Put the Dracula cape on.
Yeah.
I can see the sheep with the fangs and the Dracula cape. That's pretty funny.
Lot of good things are going to happen to you because you're doing the right thing. The blessing is going to come upon you because you're doing the right thing. And like we said earlier, it's you doing the right thing without effort because of where your focus is. If you got your focus fine-tuned on Jesus, fine-tuned on the kingdom, then you're going to find ways to treat people right, no matter what they're saying or doing. Amen. God is
amen.
So good.
Amen. That's the way it goes. You got to focus on the kingdom and focus on some good things. And the Lord's got a lot of good things for you. You just got to put your mind on it and focus on it because He's gonna renew your loan. He's gonna help you pay those bills that you need to be paid. He's gonna bring financial blessings towards you. Right now, the Lord is showing me somebody's having problems with their house payment, and the Lord is going to meet that house payment. He's going to bring that financial burden and pull that thing off of you and make a house payment for you. He's coming right now. Just be willing to open up to accept this, but there's a blessing to come upon in somebody right now that they have been seeing these bills come in for months, that they don't know how they're going to pay it, but the Lord is on his way to help you touch those payments, and you're going to get them bills paid in Jesus' name. But there's all types of ways that the Lord can bless you, and when you're blessed, it's always good. Everybody's always good when they're happy and they got all the money they want and everything's going their perfect way. I mean, everybody's like that. Even the sinners, they're like that too, But the real thing is when you're not like that, how are you going to react then? That really shows you, what the situation is because, everybody is happy when things are going their way. Everybody's like that. I mean, when everything's going good and the birds are singing and you're driving in your new car and you got all your bills paid and you're driving to the bowling alley and you're going to have a good time or we're driving to that new vacation or whatever, everybody's happy in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the situation when you don't have no money for a vacation and you're not paying your bills and you're riding around on a flat tire? Then how are you going to react? That's gonna show you what you really are, what's going on, and that shows you your meter, And I know myself, sometimes the meter's been off a little bit, and it makes me want to recheck myself, see what's going on. But, when you're going through that situation, you need to check that meter to see what's going on when you're in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're asking the Lord to come in and help show you, and he will direct you and show you through the Word of God and show you through many different things. He will show you how to get out of that situation. It's just that we can't give up. A lot of times we're ready to drop everything and run.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't drop everything and run once you already know what God already has for you.
Mm-hmm.
He made creation. What is it to pay bills? And he made creation. He made all the stars. What is it to pay bills?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's crazy. He can do anything. It's just being open where he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And having trust, mm-hmm. and he will bring it. But
mm-hmm.
There's so many things out here that we've got people telling us, hey, we've got to have this big fine job just to pay our bills. It's not always like that. I mean, maybe you'll get a job just to pay your bills and help you to get along. It might not be enough for your Bentley or your Porsche, but it'd be enough to pay your bills and get you along. That's what you need. You know, he gives you what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. He did that many a time through the Bible, even to a bunch of prophets. There's ministers out here. He gives them what they need, okay? Let's say you're a minister and you're traveling all over the world, but you don't have the money to really travel, you know. So the Lord gives you enough money for a plane ticket, okay? You're traveling even further around the world. You're going from city to city every week. You're going to multiple cities, okay? He has donation money to come in to provide a plane. It ain't that he was wanting a plane where he can drive around, fly around and say he's rich. He's needing a plane where he can go from city to city where he needs to do. He provided what they needed, not for their wealth, but for what they needed, you know. He provides you for what you need, your needs. He's always
Stan, are you saying what you're trying to say is that when you have selfish desires, that's what you're getting at, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not about trying to fulfill your selfish desires, because it is written in Scripture that He will give you the desires of your heart. So we need to know the difference. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, Psalms 34, Psalms 37. It says, Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Throughout Scripture, Father tells us if we focus on Him, if we do the right thing when it comes to relating to Him, that all things will be added unto us. Even Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when Jesus was preaching that same Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things that, whether it be house, wife, car, job, money, He adds all things to you as you love Him first. You know, we talk about love. As we love Him with all our hearts, we'll find these things will be added to us. He even in salvation, the Greek word for salvation is pronounced sozo, and it means forgiveness, healing, prosperity, and deliverance. And it's all inclusive in the atonement of Christ Jesus. It's all inclusive in the relationship that comes with seeking Him first, putting Him first in His kingdom. He adds those things to us. And, you know, we should be trusting Him every day. Every day we should be walking by faith, because the just live by faith. Father, thank you for my food today. Thank you for my job. Thank you for finding me to pay the bills. We should be trusting Him, walking by faith every day, and showing Him, because it is impossible, Hebrews 11:6, to please Him without faith. And the more we long to please Him, we'll be able to tell Peter to go fishing, and the first fish he's catching is going to pay our taxes.
What I was going to say was, it don't take a prophet to tell you that you're not spending your money wisely. You know, I mean, a lot of times the biggest problems with people that are in difficult situations is, you know, they'll go out and buy like the $200 shoes and neglect to pay their water bill. Or, I mean, it's just stuff like that kind of irritates me. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in faith, you know. But, I mean, it's like you were saying about the desires of your heart. Are they really desires of your heart? Are they like just vain, impulsive things that you feel like you ought to have because you're a child of God, you know? And that's one of the areas where I feel like if we apply that scripture that says if we humble ourselves, He will exalt us, and if we exalt ourselves, we'll be humbled. So it's like that scripture applies in so many areas, and I just ask for wisdom for everybody that hears this, you know, and us also, you know, to be effective stewards and to really make the most out of our life with God. That's what my desire is I want to be able to be a blessing, to be that blessing to people that are in need. And, you know, I mean, people are at at all different levels in their walk. And
yeah.
I just ask, ask you, Lord, for the blessing to be a blessing, you know? And
yeah.
I love you guys.
I was thinking of Jesus getting the loaves of bread and the fish and having the basket, and he goes and prays over it, and he looks at it, it's like T-bone steaks and salad, and he's canning it out to him.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that, but, you know, he supplied exactly what they needed, you know. He had all those people he had to feed, and he only had fish and bread, but he gave them exactly what was the 10,000 people, whatever, 1,000 people that he had to feed, and all of a sudden he came out to exactly what he needed to do. And at the time, the disciples were like, mind-blowing, like, man, how are we going to do this with this three fish and a loaf of bread? You know, how is this going to do? We're going to have to make an awful lot of peaches to feed all these people, you know. And he's like, nah, give it to me. He said, then he gave thanks for what he had, and all of a sudden, boom, there it was, you know. The Lord honored his thankfulness for what he had. And then he multiplied because he was thankful for what he had. And that's the point, be thankful for what you have. Jesus was thankful for what he had, and the Father multiplied it. So, I mean, if you're thankful, like you say, if you're thankful for what you have, it will multiply. But if you're not, will it multiply? I mean,
You know, one of the main things that Jesus did there at the feeding of the thousands was he broke and showed what the blessing does to the curse. The curse of lack that was there, he destroyed the curse of lack right there with that blessing of the bread and the fish. The scripture I read earlier about Father giving you the desires of your heart, what we haven't looked at intensely there is this. You having his desire causes your desire to become his desire. He blesses us, Deuteronomy 8:18, so that he might establish his covenant in our lives so that we can be a blessing. Just like Chris said, the whole purpose of us being blessed with abundance is so that we can distribute to others to show them this is what the Lord is trying to do in your life. He is the God of abundance. He is the God of multiplication. He is El Shaddai, the great-breasted one, the God of plenty. He is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. And as we seek him for that, as we seek him, we've got to remember it's not so that we can heap it upon ourselves, but so that we can be a blessing to demonstrate the heart of God to others.
Hey, I want to say something real quick. It's like I was captured by this thought today, and it's kind of wild because I was just walking down the hall, and I was thinking about, like, I've been some pretty incredible places, and I've been in some pretty much slop holes, you know, and I was thinking about, because I had to go into a dumpster today to get something out that was thrown away that shouldn't have been thrown away. And so anyway, it got me to thinking about these missionaries, and some of the places I've been have been pretty bad, you know, like third world, and just nobody, I mean, areas where really all they had was maybe a change of clothes or something, you know. But anyway, the thought I'm getting at is in every place I've been, like the joy when you see somebody smiling, I mean, that kind of abundance, I mean, that's something that you get. I mean, you learn to be content in the Lord. That kind of abundance,
Amen.
Man, I mean, it is priceless. That I just remember seeing this little girl smile, that she was so poverty stricken, her family and stuff, but she was smiling ear to ear and so full of the joy of the Lord, you know, and that it just does something to you, you know, and like when you smile and you connect with God, and I mean, that stuff is just, and that love,
Amen. That
love is flowing to you, and it's like you're able to give it out. I mean, that there is nothing that compares to that. There is so much to be thankful for, you know, and I was just feeling releasing that love. Father, I just pray that you release that right now to all of us at the sound of our voice. Lord, I thank you that that love is just poured out on your people, on all the listeners, on us, Lord, because that love is the source of everything. And just walking with you is such a great honor. That's the greatest honor in life. And that's the true riches in life, is to walk with you. And that's the source of it. And I really just want all of you to experience that love and the fullness of that love, and to delight yourself in the Lord, because it's that secret right there of delighting yourself in the Lord, and he gives you your heart's desires. And it's funny, mm-hmm. because he also changes vain desires and stuff,
yes.
that really are nothing to you. I mean,
yeah.
they really amount to nothing. You can't take those vain desires with you, but you are going to take that love with you, and you are going to take that joy and that life with you. And, you know, if
mm-hmm.
you focus on happiness and joy, and not every, I mean, joy is deeper than happiness, because you can be sad and still be in the joy of the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
but anyway,
amen.
Lord, flood your people right now with your grace and your love, and just let them
mm-hmm.
all taste and see that you're good. In
yes.
Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
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 That's
praise
great. That's great. It's cool how this show stretched out to many different forms. You never know what's going to happen when you start a show, because you start out with a title, and all of a sudden the Lord is going to move you in many different forms to touch many different people, to many situations where they're in. And you never
mm-hmm.
know. Like, I mean, I was talking to a evangelist not too long ago, and I told him, I was like, you know, once I start a show, I don't know where it's going to end up. I just hope I got a right title, and it might end up somewhere in left field. That's how the Holy Spirit moves. He has to try to minister to many different people where they are. And that title might be a beginning, but it's going to end up exactly where it needs to be. And
mm-hmm.
That's what I love about these shows, is seeing how they're going to go and how they're going to minister to people. And
mm-hmm.
we went everywhere from talking about being humble to how to be a good steward as a Christian, how being
mm-hmm.
a steward of your money. We covered all type of topics here today. So
mm-hmm.
it was
mm-hmm.
pretty awesome.
Amen.
Yeah, and you know what? When you're loving, when you're paying your bills, you're walking in love to the lender, you know, or to whatever service that you're getting. You know, so
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's just a matter of a change of perspective, you know, because
mm-hmm.
in paying your lender, on a timely, or paying your landlord, or whatever it is you're buying, that's walking in love. And that's really, I believe that God enables you to be honorable and walk in honorably to your neighbor. You're showing the love and the light of God. You're actually probably doing more by your stewardship and releasing, doing what you're supposed to do rightly, that you're more of a witness that way. You ain't even got to open your mouth if you're doing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. That's
Amen.
Good preaching. That's
Amen.
Good preaching. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
That's awesome. Well, guys,
mm-hmm.
we're completely out of time, and we've been out of time for about 10 minutes now. But this has been a great show, and we keep going there. Now, Robert, would you like to introduce, you know, go ahead and introduce people to the Lord, if anybody's willing, is wanting to?
Yes, let's just go ahead and do that in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody out there in our audience tonight who's listening, and the things that you've heard us talking about has pricked your heart and has compelling you to accept the gift of God in Christ Jesus. Father loves you so much, and he does not want you to perish. And he made it so simple. If you believe in Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to pray this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, I believe,
Lord Jesus,
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe that Father sent you.
I believe Father sent you.
To save my life.
To save my life.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something with it.
Do something with it.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I receive my forgiveness.
I receive my forgiveness.
I renounce the enemy.
I renounce the enemy.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's that simple. Confess in your heart. Believe in your heart. Confess your mouth. Believe in your heart. And you are saved. Hallelujah. Welcome to the family. Welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
Heaven
him.
Bound.
That's right. New creatures in
Amen.
Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
that's
him.
That's awesome.
Yes, amen. Amen. That's
amen.
Awesome.
Amen. I want to tell everybody that y'all can go to Facebook and check out the Healing Light Show. If you have any prayer requests, please post your prayer request on the Healing Light Show Facebook page. At the bottom of the page, you can press follow, and when you follow the page, as everybody in Blog Talk, it will automatically send you an email when a show is getting ready to start or when I create a show to let you know what, you know, is going to come on next. And it's a pretty awesome thing where they can just actually just send you an email when to let you know about all the shows and what's going on and all this good stuff. And it's a pretty awesome thing. But it also lets us know how many people are listening, lets us know how many followers we got. It kind of encourages us to do more shows, to really give us a good drive, you know, drive towards the shows, because it really helps us to be encouraged to really kick in this ministry, really get things going. So I really encourage everybody to like the Facebook page and just follow the show. And it's awesome to see that. And it'll really be a blessing to you as it is to us. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all that listened to our show today. It's a blessing to have new listeners and old listeners to come back. It's a blessing for them, too. And we thank all of y'all for listening to the shows at any time, whether it's, you know, out of the library or listening to it live. We appreciate every one of the listeners that's listening to the show. And I'd like to say, may God bless every one of y'all this night. And coming Saturday morning, we're going to have Perry Mason on. He's a minister out of Durham. He's an evangelist. He works in the power of God. It's going to be awesome. He's going to be talking about his new event he's going to have coming to Durham. And it's going to be an awesome show. And I really ask y'all to listen to it. It's going to be at 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning. God bless everyone of y'all. We'll see y'all Saturday.
Every single word I say, you know it before I speak. You know every thought, the deepest part of me. You draw me closer than I see. Your presence is everything I need to be the child that you've created.
Yeah.
From every fingertip, washing away.